The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Leader and the Muse with top personal brand coach and leadership presence guru, Rasheryl McCrary. Rasheryl teaches executives and entrepreneurs how to build their personal brands and increase their influence in ways that drive personal and organizational success. Now she's ready to help you. It's time to expand your brand. Here's Rasheryl McCrary.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Leader and the Muse. I am your host, Rasheryl McCrary, and I am the president of Dow Leadership Development. Now, I am a certified leadership coach and a certified personal brand strategist, and over the past decade, I have coached over 1,000 leaders in Fortune 500 companies, government agencies, and leading business schools, helping them discover, communicate, and leverage their authentic personal brand. Now, for those of you who are not quite familiar with personal branding, or maybe you think branding is this sort of weird packaging or this gimmicky kind of thing, let me tell you what I'm talking about when I say personal brand. So your personal brand is your unique promise of value. It is your, sometimes it's called your unique value proposition. It's your unique combination of skills, strengths, values, and creative abilities all rolled up into one. And personal branding is the process by which we unearth and cultivate your personal brand. Now, each week on The Leader and the Muse, we will be discussing personal branding through the lens of my Brand You program, which means brand your own uniqueness. And it's really designed to help leaders and entrepreneurs unearth, personal brand and really get it out into the world. So, I was inspired to create this Brand You program by a quote from William Aruda, and he's one of the godfathers of personal branding. He's at Reach Personal Branding. And the quote says, "What makes you unique makes you successful." And I have certainly found that to be true in my own life, and many others have found that when they land in the sweet spot of their uniqueness, that's where they enjoy great success. And you can look around at lots of famous personal brands like Steve Jobs or Oprah Winfrey or all kinds of famous personal brands, and you see that their uniqueness is really what made them successful. So in the Brand You program, there are four steps that really help you jumpstart your brand. So the first step and the most important step is called excavate, and that's where we really go on a journey of self-reflection and we use some external assessment tools, and it really helps you unearth your unique qualities. The second step is clarify, and that's where we sift through all the data and all the stuff we've gathered in the excavate phase, and we boil it down to its essential elements, and we try to figure out what is your it factor. What is it about you? What unique combination makes you you and really allows you to be your most powerful self? The third stage is embody, and that's where we look at all of the actual skills and practices that you can do at work, at home, everywhere, that you can embrace and embody to really elevate your brand. And that's where your presence, your image, your environment come into play as well. Now, the fourth step of the Brand You process, and the one that most people want to jump immediately to, is leverage. And that's where we look at how do we identify low-impact, high-value actions that help you launch your brand out into the world in ways that drive success. So those are the four steps of the Brand You program. And if you want to find out more about that program, be sure to visit me at www.tao-leadership.com. That's tao-leadership.com, and I'll be happy to talk to you all about the program. So on today's show, I am actually going to be the guest. Usually we are talking about some aspect of the Brand You program or some element of the Brand You program through the lens. We're talking to a guest through the lens of that Brand You program. So today, I'm actually going to be your guest. And today we'll be talking about 7 personal branding lessons from Shark Tank. So maybe you guys know already what I'm talking about when I say Shark Tank. So the thing about Shark Tank is it is a dangerous and tricky place for personal brands, right? It's, you know, a few minutes in the tank and seemingly unsinkable personal brands are tattered to shreds. I have seen people on Shark Tank break down into tears, lose their temper, break into uncontrollable and profuse sweating, become surly and combative, and just all around freak out. And their personal brands are completely tattered to shreds and sometimes unrecognizable because of the pressure of being in the Shark Tank. And then there are those who prevail, who remain calm, who go with the flow, so to speak, ride the wave, and end up swimming with the sharks. Personal brand intact and maybe personal brand even a little better for the struggle and the wear. So if you're wondering what I'm talking about, you're not a Shark Tank fan, let me tell you, Shark Tank is one of my favorite shows. I watch it every Friday night, and I tape it even though I'm watching it because I love to study it. Shark Tank is a reality show on ABC. As I said, it comes on Friday nights. Check your local listings. And I'm not in any way affiliated with Shark Tank. I just love the show. And the thing I love about it is you can really learn so much by watching these entrepreneurs who come into the Shark Tank and they're making a pitch. And sometimes these pitches, you know, their lives really depend on it. People have mortgaged their homes. They have, borrowed lots of money. I mean, they've done all these things and they have everything riding on this product or business idea that they're pitching in this pressure cooker on TV called Shark Tank. So here's how it works. The series features entrepreneurs, as I mentioned, pitching their business idea or product to a panel of super successful investors, multimillionaires and billionaires, called sharks. And the sharks are pretty much the same sort of core group of sharks, and they are Robert Herjavec, who's a tech mogul, Kevin O'Leary, he's a venture capitalist, Barbara Corcoran is a real estate mogul, Damon John is a fashion and branding expert and mogul, and Mark Cuban is the billionaire owner of the Dallas Mavericks, and Lori Grenier is the queen of QVC. She has, I think, done $500 million of sales or profits with QVC. She's the queen of all things QVC. So those are sort of the core Shark Tank investors. Or core sharks who are on the show. There are a few others who come in and out from time to time that I've seen. So the challenge of the show is that the entrepreneurs who are pitching, I'm going to call them pitchers from this point forward, the challenge for the pitchers is to maintain or elevate their personal brand and dignity by delivering this brief, engaging, authentic pitch around their product. And once they are delivering that, you know, they've delivered that pitch, then it becomes really critical that they survive a very rigorous and sometimes just downright brutal Q&A session with the sharks. And it's just, you know, it's amazing to watch this because the stakes are so high and the pressure is so intense. And, you know, you have not only are you, you know, pitching for your life here in front of these very powerful people that you know all about, but you're on television, and so millions of people are watching, and your family's watching. So, you know, I sit there, and I just have such empathy for these business owners going in because the pressure must be intense. And the thing is, you know, as in real life, some folks succeed in the tank, and many folks don't succeed in the tank. And so I thought the Shark Tank would be, a great place to sort of do some research and look at how do you build, maintain, or even elevate your personal brand. What personal branding lessons can you take from Shark Tank that you can apply in the boardroom or when you're pitching to stakeholders, or when you are trying to get buy-in on your next project, or maybe you're an entrepreneur and you're in this exact same position. You're pitching your business idea and trying to get investments, right? So I gleaned about 7 lessons, personal branding lessons that I think are really, really important to think about when you have to go in and you have to deliver a power pitch, right? That you're, this is a critically important for your career, your business, your life, and you've got to get buy-in from the stakeholders at the table. You're trying to get a deal. You're trying to show them the value, convince them of the value, persuade them, influence them of the value of your product. So when you're in that power pitch situation, I think there's seven personal brand lessons that Shark Tank really teaches us. So I'll give you the list and then we'll sort of break them down and walk into them a little bit. So the seven lessons are, number one, and they may be a little bit out of order, but number one is prep first. You got to be prepared. Number two is first impressions matter. So we'll talk about what I mean by that. Number three is you have to manage anxiety. In fact, you have to master anxiety. Number four, start strong. Number five is pace yourself. Pace yourself. Number six is know your stuff. Know your stuff. The Shark Tank is no place to not know exactly what you're talking about inside out. And number seven is having grace under fire. So those are the seven sort of lessons I've picked up from watching Shark Tank. So let's start at the very beginning. I'm a big fan in number one, which is prep first. And part of the reason I'm a huge fan around prepping before you power pitch, before you go into any situation where you have to communicate or deliver a message, particularly for those of you who are listening who do this on a regular basis, I cannot stress enough how important it is to prep. And many times I think what happens is because when you are delivering a message, when you're doing a presentation or a pitch or whatever it is, for most people, you're thinking, well, it's just talking. You know, if I get my PowerPoint right, or I get all my gimmicks and my tools and my tricks and my props, or, you know, I get all that stuff, if I just have all those things right and I put all my energy and attention on getting my PowerPoint together, that's all I need to do, because I can just think about this and then get up and deliver my power pitch and it's going to come out great. No, that's not the way it works. And let me tell you how I know that's not the way it works. I was a professional theater actress for many, many, many years. And one thing that you learn in theater that is a little different than even doing television or film, is theater is extremely rigorous around rehearsal, and prepping. And the reason it's extremely rigorous is, you know, there are a couple of reasons. One, in theater, you're in a live environment where you're delivering a message, telling a story, showing an audience something, communicating to a live audience. And two, there's tons of pressure in that situation. There's a lot of nervousness. There are no retakes. There are no redos. There are no do-overs. You have one time to get up there in that performance and nail it from beginning to end and to tell that story in an engaging and powerful, inspiring way. And you have to practice to be able to do that. So in theater, you have a long, long, long rehearsal process that's pretty rigorous, because it's not just about thinking about my script and my words, and then I'm going to go out and give a great performance. So with that, I'm going to take a little break. We're going to break for a commercial. I will be right back right after the break. This is Cheryl McCreary, your host of The Leader and the Muse, and I am here on Voice America Business Channel. We'll be right back after the break.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Do you want to build your brand and increase your influence? Let Dow help you. Visit us at tao-leadership.com to learn how. Dow Leadership Development helps savvy executives and entrepreneurs map out a blueprint for their personal brand in order to drive business success. How do we do this? By combining a powerful 360 assessment tool with hands-on coaching and over 10 years of experience working with over 1,000 leaders at Fortune 500 companies, government agencies, and top business schools. Our signature coaching program is Brand YOU for individuals or groups. If you are ready to build your brand and increase your influence, call 216-374-2282 or go to tao-leadership.com.
In sales, are you a lion or a vulture? Lions don't wait. They just go for it. Vultures hang around until the lions are finished and just pick up the scraps. How can you set yourself apart as a lion? Join the other aspiring sales lions and listen to Forget Patience, Let's Sell Something with host Ty Mayner. You'll learn the tips and strategies of top sales professionals. You'll gain more clients at a faster rate and at higher margins. If you're a sales professional, business owner, or executive, listen in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to The Leader and the Muse with host Brashero McCrary. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to muse@leaderandthemuse.com. That's M-U-S-E at leaderandthemuse.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Brashero McCrary, your host of The Leader and the Muse. And today's show, we are talking about 7 personal brand lessons from Shark Tank. 7 personal branding lessons from Shark Tank. And so right before the break, I was talking about sort of the first big lesson from Shark Tank, and a lesson I learned years ago as a professional actress, and that is that you've got to prep first. Whenever you are delivering a power pitch, you are really trying to get buy-in or support, financial or otherwise, from stakeholders or from your audience. You have got to practice. It's not just you can look at the PowerPoint, think about your words, and then stand and deliver. You've really got to practice. And one of the things we learn in theater by having rehearsals where we actually are saying the lines and running lines and running through the play, one of the things that we learn in that rehearsal process is that when that play, when that script gets so embedded in you that literally you begin to embody the character, or the lines just come to you, or sometimes you even dream about the lines or dream the script, that's when we call it, it's in your bones. It's in your bones. And so no matter what happens on that stage, if the, you know, if someone's cell phone rings in the audience, or if someone else, another actor, forgets their lines, whatever happens, you have that show, your script, in your bones, and you can react, you can respond, you can keep the show going when it's in your bones. And it only gets that way when you prep. So for my corporate clients and my executive coaching clients, I really make sure they are prepared before they deliver a high-stakes presentation or power pitch. And so some of the things I ask them to do, even before they get to the actual rehearsal piece, is to really begin to think about, you know, who is your audience? Who are you talking to? Who are you pitching to? Do you know who these people are? On Shark Tank, almost everyone who comes in, obviously, it's obvious from the way they respond or the things that they say, it's obvious they've done research on each member of that Shark Tank and have done some research on who might be the best investor for their business, product, or idea. So for you guys who are listening out there who may not ever be on Shark Tank but work or live or play in Shark Tanks of your own, really think about, who's your audience? What does that audience want from you or want to hear from you, or what do they want, period? What do you want them to do, right? Do you want them to invest? Do you want them to just have an open mind? Do you want to change their point of view completely? What do you want to do with this message you're delivering, or this pitch that you're delivering? And it could be you just want to get buy-in. You want to get them to invest. You want to excite them about it. So you want to think about those things. Who's your audience? What do they want? What do you want? And also think about, what do they know about your product or your business? What are some places of connection there? What do you know about them where you can make connections? So those are some things for you to really sort of think about in terms of your audience and who you're pitching to. And another really powerful question, I think, that can really serve you, even though it's a little bit negative, is to think about what does your audience fear, right? So sometimes in the corporate arena, you're delivering a message, you know, as a leader, you're trying to get maybe your team or your peers or senior leaders to see another point of view, and there's some resistance they have against your idea or what you're pitching to them. And so it might be important to think about before you even go into that situation, what is it they fear, right? Do they fear that the change that you're suggesting or what you're offering will threaten them in some way, or will it might possibly fail, or it might be out of their control and purview? What is it they fear? So sometimes that's also a good question to ask. So these are great things to think about before you ever get to even crafting your message or practicing your message. The other piece of prep first is actually just practicing. And literally, I mean, stand up and deliver that presentation to your dogs. I do that frequently, to your family members, to the air in your office. Just get up and get the words, as I say, in your mouth. Get the words in your mouth. Make sure you're comfortable. Say the words out loud. Give the talk out loud. All of those things help you get that talk, your pitch, in your bones, so that no matter what happens, if the PowerPoint fails or one of the stakeholders or sharks you're pitching to is looking at their cell phone and looking at their watch and doing things to distract you, that you will not be thrown off your game, all right? So number one is prep first, and I spend a lot of time there because it's the most important. You want to lay a solid foundation for your power pitch, just like you would lay a solid foundation if you were building a house or anything else, right? So good. So the second lesson, personal branding lesson from Shark Tank, is to really think about your first impression. First impressions matter. They really matter. And you've got to be strategic about this and really think about this. So some of the ways you should think about your first impression is starting with starting with your image. Right, starting with how you actually appear, the clothes you have on, how your hair is styled, the colors you're wearing. And there's some things that you want to think about in terms of this first impression. First of all, you want whatever you're wearing, your attire and your hairstyle, to be in alignment with your personal brand and or be in alignment with the product that you're pitching. So as an example, let's say that you're an entrepreneur on Shark Tank and you are pitching, construction gear, okay? Gear that you wear for construction, maybe knee pads and a bunch of, you know, tough, thick gloves or a weight belt, something like that, right? And you go into the Shark Tank and pitch, and you have on maybe flip-flops, some Bermuda shorts, and your hair is all gelled up if you're a guy. Or let's say if you're a woman and you're pitching this, that you go in and you have on something overly dressy or overly close to an evening gown or something that would be appropriate for cocktail hour, right? So the point I'm making here is that you really want to make sure you're sort of in alignment with whatever you're pitching. So for instance, if I was going into Shark Tank and I'm pitching one of my coaching programs, then I'm going to dress like an executive coach. I would wear a suit probably, maybe something a little colorful or something that added some color, or I was a little creative, but I pretty much look like a person who does executive coaching. That would not be the time I would wear, you know, what I walk my dogs in. Right? So the idea is to really think about making sure your attire is aligned with your personal brand. And we've talked about that on other shows, right? The other thing is, in terms of the first impression, there's the visual, because they see you first. The other thing, though, is a little harder to put your finger on. They feel you also. They see you and they feel you. And this is a little hard to quantify, but it's really about projecting confidence and credibility even before you open your mouth, right? I always say to my clients, you are on stage all the time. If you are in a meeting and you have to, or you're pitching, and you have to walk in and make an entrance, or you have to move from your seat at the conference table and walk over to the PowerPoint. You're on stage from the moment your bum leaves the seat. The curtain is up. Right. And so many people, I think, forget that that is really a first impression, because what happens there is that's when the sort of subconscious, subliminal opinions are formed about, you know, who you are and about your personal brand. Right. Because that's where you sense, oh, you see, you know, and it's again, it's subconscious. But, you know, if someone appears very tense and nervous as they're walking up, you as an audience member, you feel that. If someone seems uncertain or not confident from the moment they leave their chair or as they approach you and you're one of the sharks, right away, you smell blood in the water, right? Because you can sense that that person is not confident. And what happens is we read body language. We read your ability to make eye contact. We read your gestures. We read, are you looking down? Are you looking straight ahead? We read all those things, and we all do this. So it's not just the stakeholders you're pitching to or the sharks that you're pitching to. We do the same things, right? We make snap judgments all the time about other people before they ever open their mouths, just based on how they carry themselves. So, for you, what I want you to make sure that you do is really think about number two of this personal brand lesson from the Shark Tank, and that is make a strong first impression. Make sure that your attire and your hairstyle and everything about you is brand aligned with and appropriate to what you're pitching and who you are. And number two is really projecting that confidence and that credibility and being in that authentic space, because this is the secret that, you know, many times I think you don't think about when you're doing a power pitch. The person on the other side of that pitch, 9 times out of 10, wants you to be good. You know, the board of directors that you're pitching to, or the senior leadership you're pitching to, or whoever it is, they want you to be good. Rarely do you go into a situation where they want you to fail. If they're sitting there and they have to listen to you, or they have to be in a meeting or spend their time listening to you pitch, they want you, they want to find someone great to invest in. They want a great idea. So, you know, you can relieve yourself of a little bit of that burden of feeling like you have to either hide your nerves or, feeling just hijacked by your nerves, because the person on the other side that you're pitching to, the sharks know you're nervous. They know you're nervous. Even on Shark Tank, I've seen episodes where, you know, someone is just extremely nervous, and the sharks realize that, and they help the person calm down or ask them questions to help them continue through the pitch. So, be aware that you need to be brand aligned in how you look, and you need to project that confidence even before you open your mouth, right? So that brings us to number three in these 7 personal brand lessons from Shark Tank, and it's really closely related to the last part of number two, and because number three is all about managing anxiety. And anxiety shows up in different places and in different ways for everyone. And certainly throughout a pitch, it shows up in different places. Sometimes it shows up at the top before you ever get there. We were just talking about that. Sometimes it shows up in the middle. Sometimes you start off and you feel great, and then somewhere through the middle, you start to have this sort of dissociative experience where you begin to hear your own voice or notice your gestures, and you get thrown off, and you get disconnected, and you get nervous. Or sometimes you make it all the way through and you do okay. You really sort of master those nerves, but you get to the end. You get to the end and they start firing questions, and that's where the anxiety kicks in, because that you're not quite prepared for. So we're going to come back right after this break, and we're going to jump right back into managing anxiety, the third of 7 personal branding lessons from Shark Tank. And I'm going to talk about some specific techniques to think about as it relates to that. So we're going to take a quick break. This is Rochelle McCrary, your host of The Leader in the Muse. And we'll be back on Voice America Business Channel in just a few moments.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Where do you stand with your money? Let me put this question a different way. Where do you think you stand with your money? Managing money effectively can mean wealth, success, and contentment. Not managing the right way can lead to stress, anxiety, and even health problems. To reach your financial goals, tune in to Money, Jobs, Health, and Other Things of Life with host Gordon Bennett. Every day we are faced with choices, and the wrong ones can be hard to correct. Don't make a bad financial choice. Listen every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Business.
Do you want to build your brand and increase your influence? Let Dow help you. Visit us at tao-leadership.com to learn how. Dow Leadership Development helps savvy executives and entrepreneurs map out a blueprint for their personal brand in order to drive business success. How do we do this? By combining a powerful 360 assessment tool with hands-on coaching and over 10 years of experience working with over 1,000 leaders at Fortune 500 companies, government agencies, and top business schools. Our signature coaching program is Brand YOU for individuals or groups. If you are ready to build your brand and increase your influence, call 216-374-2282 or go to tao-leadership.com.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are listening to The Leader and the Muse with host Rochero McCrary. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to muse@leaderandthemuse.com. That's M-U-S-E at leaderandthemuse.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Rochero McCrary, your host of The Leader and the Muse. And today, I am talking about one of my favorite shows ever. It's called Shark Tank, and it comes on television on Friday evenings on ABC, and it is a great show for really learning and observing and critiquing personal branding and personal brand issues and communication styles. So today's show is entitled Seven Personal Branding Lessons from Shark Tank, and that's the TV show Shark Tank. So I talked about the first three, three branding lessons. So one is prep first, number two is first impressions matter, and number three, I was talking about managing anxiety, right? So when you are in your own version of Shark Tank, whatever that looks like for you, it could be a meeting with the big boss, it could be presenting to your colleagues, whatever that is for you. Anxiety is one of the number one things that can derail your personal brand, right? Because anxiety just fills us with all of these stress hormones, and we get completely hijacked, and it's hard to sort of maintain our ability to think clearly and to communicate effectively and to just be present when we become hijacked with anxiety, right? We're usually feeling like we're just trying to survive whatever is going on. And on Shark Tank, you certainly see that. And I applaud the entrepreneurs who go on the show because it has to be a lot of pressure to stand up on national television and, you know, give it your all and really pitch for your life. So I really applaud the entrepreneurs who have the courage to just step up and step out there and go on the show. So in talking about managing anxiety, there are a few ways anxiety shows up when you're pitching. And so, as I said before, it can show up at the top, which happens for most of us, right? You get the knot in your stomach, you feel lightheaded, you're shaking, your voice is constricted and high-pitched, all those different things happen. And so really looking at how do I just breathe my way through that, get myself aligned, create some kind of ritual for myself. Again, in my theater background, I certainly had, and almost every actor I knew had some kind of ritual that they did to manage their nerves. I meditate or I just sit quietly. So people who worked on shows with me way back in the day knew that, you know, at a certain point, I was either in my dressing room or backstage and I was just getting in my zone, right? Because what I needed to do to manage my nerves was to get quiet and get still and not running lines or focused on the lines, but just trying to empty out sort of that mind chatter and that stress and anxiety. So for you, you have to figure out what is a ritual that will help you manage anxiety at the top. Okay. So another way anxiety shows up is sometimes in the middle or throughout. So here you are, you know, you've gotten through the first part and you're maybe halfway through, and for some reason you start to get anxious. So a variety of things can happen in that case. Sometimes you can start to hear your own voice, and you start to then sort of separate from what you're saying, because you're hearing your voice and you're thinking, as you're talking, you're thinking, what am I talking about? Why did I say that? Oh my God, what do they think? Right? So the inner critic then, once you sort of separate in that way and you're not fully present and engaged in your talk, that inner critic hijacks the entire process, and then there's this internal dialogue going on, and there's your mouth moving, talking to the sharks or whoever you're pitching, right? And so that happens sometimes. And so the key with that, again, is that is a place where what you want to do is get yourself breathing. Even while you're talking, even while you're feeling this inner critic kick in, you want to get yourself breathing, and you want to shift your focus ever so slightly to your audience, right? Because you're there for your audience. The thing that I've noticed about the inner critic is that the inner critic hijacks you, and it becomes all about you, right? It becomes all about you. It becomes all about how do I sound? What did I do? Why am I doing that? What are my hands doing? Oh, are they looking? Does this sound crazy? What do they think of me, right? Everything is really about me, when that inner critic takes over. And when you're communicating and delivering a message, and as a leader, or if you're pitching something, it really has to be all about the audience. Right? Your focus and your intention, right? Your intention has to be, I want to make sure the audience gets this. I want to make sure the audience gets this, or my audience understands the value of this product. I want to make sure that the senior leaders understand how great this project is and how it'll really drive revenue for the company, right? So really beginning to shift your focus towards the audience, your audience, and that helps keep the inner critic at bay. You'll never fully get rid of the inner critic, but you can keep it at bay so it doesn't hijack you. So another way that anxiety shows up is, and you see this incredibly graphically on Shark Tank, is when you get to the end of the presentation, or if you get interrupted and your sharks start firing questions, right? They start asking you questions. And sometimes they're questions you can answer, and then sometimes there are questions you can't answer, or you're not fully prepared, or sometimes anxiety just riddles your brain and you cannot form a cohesive answer, or you can't even think of the answer. You can't pull it out of the air, right? And so you see that happen so often on Shark Tank. And again, that also happens so many times with my clients where they, you know, they get through the presentation, they knock it out of the park, and then all of a sudden it's like a firing squad. You know, the executive committee or whoever it is they're pitching to, all of a sudden everybody has a question, everyone has pushback, and you feel like you're under fire, right? And so again, that's a time where you have to figure out what works for you. But I'll tell you what works for me, I'll tell you what works for my clients. In the moment that firing squad starts to happen, if you can just remember to breathe, because this is what happens. When you're hit with a huge stressor like that, so you've delivered this talk, you're standing up on a stage, per se, and the sharks are there, and you've delivered your pitch, and you get fired on like that, what happens is you start to close down, you tense up, right? That fight or flight or freeze, or disassociate. I think there are four responses to stress. You shut down, right? So you stop breathing. Everything's frozen. You become tense. And when you're in that state, you cannot think. You cannot think. So one of the keys is when you get into that firing squad situation to manage anxiety, that's when you want to do what's counterintuitive. So instead of freezing, you want to breathe. You want to open. You want to breathe. It's really hard. I know it's hard. I have been there. I have struggled with managing performance anxiety and mastered it. I have, you know, been on stage when someone forgets their lines, or I've been pitching my business when the PowerPoint doesn't work, or been in those situations where just something happens and I feel like I'm fighting for my life, or I get asked unexpected questions and I feel like I'm fighting for my life. So when those things happen, that's where you want to do what's counterintuitive, and you want to breathe. And the more you breathe, and I don't mean like panting like a dog breathing, right, which is what you may want to do because you're just freaking out, but I mean just imperceptibly breathing as deeply as you possibly can. And the key to this is if you practice this when you're not stressed, really deep belly breathing, if any of you practice yoga, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you practice really deep belly breathing when you're not stressed out, then when you do run into a stressor like this, you have access to that really deep breathing that will immediately begin to slow down your heart rate. It will reverse the release of stress hormones into the system, and really just physiologically, repetitive, consistent, deep, deep breathing will slow that internal stress process down, and you can actually think. So it's something you have to practice. And the fourth way that anxiety pops up in one of these pitches, and there was a classic example of this on Shark Tank, is when there's some kind of mishap. If you've overly relied on technology, and let's say the PowerPoint doesn't work, or your slide gets stuck, or let's say if someone's clicking the slides for you and they are in the wrong spot, or any number of things happen, the show must go on. The show must go on. And so what I say to my clients is, great, you have this PowerPoint, and you want to still sort of know the story you're telling. You want to know the order of those slides. You want to know what are you saying, so that if anything happens with that PowerPoint and it's not available to you, or the slides are out of order, anything can happen, that you can still go on, that you're not completely disabled by the technical glitches and failures that happen all the time, right? As a public speaker, I know that sometimes I can in advance ask, do they have a certain kind of equipment? Do they have the right adapters for my iPad, at the hotel or wherever I'm giving a talk? And inevitably, they don't have something that they told me they had, or it's not there, or it's being used in another room. I mean, any number of things. And so I've learned for myself, to carry what I need with me to the degree that I can. I even travel with my own projector. That's how anal I am. I travel with my own projector when I speak, so that just in case anything happens, I have that with me. But let's say if my projector didn't work, then I know my power pitch. I know my talk. I know my story. And that's what I want you guys to do is, technology is an aid. It's not the story. It's not the thing itself. And so you have to really, really be clear on what you're saying and the order of what you're talking about and how to respond, so that if the technology does not work, or when I was an actor, if the other actor in the scene with me didn't know their lines or dropped a line, the show must go on. And there was an episode of Shark Tank, and I don't know which one it was, but this poor entrepreneur was pitching, and at a key moment, he turned to the PowerPoint or to a video, and it did not work. And he was completely disabled, could not continue, could barely form a sentence. And it was so wonderful to see the sharks jump in and really help him, literally giving him lifelines and asking him questions to help him sort of get back on track and get through the presentation. And so that was really a wonderful thing to see. And sometimes that will happen, where you'll be in that situation and the folks on the other side of the table will help you. Other times they may not. So you want to make sure you know your story. All right. So that's how you manage and prepare for anxiety. So, when we come back, we're going to stop for a break in about 30 seconds here. But when we come back, I want to talk about ways that you can start strong, that you can really start strong when you deliver the first few words of your pitch, because you want to start strong. You want to grab and hold their attention right from the very beginning. So we'll talk about that as soon as we come back from the break. This is Rochelle McCrary. I am your host of The Leader in the Muse, and we'll be right back on Voice America Business Channel. Stay tuned.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Do you want to build your brand and increase your influence? Let Dow help you. Visit us at tao-leadership.com to learn how. Dow Leadership Development helps savvy executives and entrepreneurs map out a blueprint for their personal brand in order to drive business success. How do we do this? By combining a powerful 360 assessment tool with hands-on coaching and over 10 years of experience working with over 1,000 leaders at Fortune 500 companies, government agencies, and top business schools. Our signature coaching program is Brand YOU for individuals or groups. If you are ready to build your brand and increase your influence, call 216-374-2282 or go to tao-leadership.com.
Are you an entrepreneur that wants to achieve more? Not just in it for profit, but to do work you find meaningful, that adds more value to more people in more ways? Listen for Be More, Achieve More, Inspiration for the Entrepreneurial Mind with host Chris Cooper. You'll hear from successful achievers from around the world with the passion and experience to offer invaluable guidance. These people are making a difference and will help give you the motivation and insight to achieve more. Be More, Achieve More can be heard live Fridays at 8 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to The Leader and the Muse with host Rochelle McCrary. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to muse@leaderandthemuse.com. That's M-U-S-E at leaderandthemuse.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Rochelle McCrary, and I am your host of The Leader in the Muse. And today we are talking about seven personal branding lessons from Shark Tank. Shark Tank is the reality show on ABC, comes on Friday nights, and it's where entrepreneurs pitch their business ideas or products to a set of investors. And it's a really great show for learning what to do and what not to do when pitching. It's a really great show to really think about, how do I elevate my personal brand when I'm in these high-pressure situations, and what do I want to make sure I don't do that might destroy or sink my personal brand when I'm in these high-pressure situations. So it's a great show. Check it out. And we're talking about seven personal branding lessons from the show Shark Tank. So the fourth lesson, as I said right before the break, is this idea of starting strong, right? Start strong. You want to start with energy. You want to start with being fully engaged. You want to start having mastered your anxiety, so that that nervous energy is channeled into positive energy, or transmuted into positive energy and excitement. Because when you start strong and you have this strong energy that you're starting with, an engaging energy, it immediately grabs the audience. It immediately grabs the audience. So think about it. Even in one-on-one situations, if a friend calls you on the telephone, let's say, and says, "Hey, Rochelle, guess what?" Well, I'm not going to sit back and go, "Yeah, what?" If someone calls me and says, "Hey, Rochelle, I'm so glad I caught you. Guess what's happening?" Then my response is going to be, what, what's going on, right? So my energy level is going to match the energy that I received. The same thing is true when you are pitching. When you go out and you have great energy and you're projecting confidence and you're just in the zone and you utter those first words and you're still in the zone, then the audience is right there with you. They're connected, right? The tendency to want to particularly in the business world. You don't see this on Shark Tank. But in the real world, what happens is you go into pitch, at a business meeting or just in your day-to-day meetings at work. And, you know, folks are on their BlackBerry, folks are on their iPads, they're talking to each other. And if you don't catch their attention right at the beginning, they go back to their BlackBerries, they go back to their iPads, and they're waiting until they hear something that pertains to them or that's important. And then they'll pay attention. So you can completely bypass losing them and trying to get them back if you start strong. So a couple of ways to start strong is, first of all, as I said before, it's all about your energy, right? So transmuting that negative me, inner critic energy into, I am so excited to go out here and share this idea with the sharks. I am so excited to tell these senior leaders about this project that I think is really going to drive revenue and be game changing for our industry. I really want to make sure that they get this, right? Or it could be, you know, I really want to warn them about the dangers of XYZ, right? So the idea is that you really have some really great energy and you're fired up when you go in there. Another way to really start strong is to think about using a headline. Think about using a headline. And that's a way for you to, throw something out there that grabs the attention. And it also gives you a little bit of leeway because you're not having to launch into a lot of verbiage right away, right? Particularly if you're still managing anxiety. If you have one strong big headline, you know that's how you're going to start with maybe a couple of headlines, then it can be a little easier to sort of get your mojo early in your pitch, okay? So when I say a headline, I mean exactly what it sounds like, right? What you see on magazine covers, you see on the news. These brief, very, very brief messages that have really powerful language, right? So you might want to think about maybe even throwing out a statistic. Use that as a headline. So 50% of the people do XYZ. 97% of all people who do XYZ do experience this. Did you know that 76% of the people who do blah, 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 right? So the idea is using a headline can sometimes be something that grabs attention. That's one idea, some startling statistic or fact. Can be a way to grab attention. So begin to think about another great headline is a metaphor. So let's say if I'm delivering a pitch and I say something like, you know, Cheryl McCreary is like the little engine that could. She said, I think I can, right? So when I say little engine that could, that metaphor makes it very clear what you're talking about. And you begin, because it's a metaphor, it's visual language, what I call juicy language. Immediately for the listener, you start to listen more closely because there's this visual element that's been introduced into your language, right? So you guys get this idea of start strong, right? So you want to have good energy. You want to have a good headline. Number five, and I see we only have a few more minutes here. So number five is this idea of pace yourself, right? So you want to start strong, but you don't want to dip down in the middle and have the energy drop and then just sort of fall off the map by the end, right? I call that circling the drain. And when you start circling the drain, as soon as you start circling, you start losing your audience because they start wanting to get back on their BlackBerry. So you want to make sure that you pace yourself and that throughout your presentation, that you have good energy, you're using gestures, you have vocal expressiveness going, and really pace yourself as you go through. And part of that pacing can be baked into your presentation, where maybe you sprinkle headlines or metaphor throughout to sort of bring everyone back to your opening headline. But those are some ways to think about pacing yourself. Number six is know your stuff. Know your stuff. To the degree that you can, you want to know as much as you possibly can about your subject matter. And I think you want to also put yourself in your shark's shoes, right? And have a sense of what kinds of questions might they ask? What do they want to know? What are they going to be concerned about as investors, right? Many times we only think about a message from one side, our side. But if you put yourself in the other person's shoes and you think about the message that they're hearing from you and what questions, concerns, things that they would have, that will serve you tremendously. Also, knowing all of the data, the facts and the figures. One of the brilliant things about Shark Tank is that it teaches everyday television watchers and everyday folks a lot about how investors value a company or what kinds of information they want, what kinds of financials they expect you as an entrepreneur to have. And I think in the business world, it's also true that you want to have all of your data, all of your facts, all those things, and be able to pull those up and answer those questions. So you want to make sure you know your stuff when you're going to power pitch. That can completely derail your deal, your credibility, and everything if you don't know not only the basics, but beyond the basics, and have a real mastery of the field or the idea that you're pitching. The very last thing is you want to have grace under fire. Grace under fire. And this is very related to managing anxiety, but it's this idea that unexpected things will happen. You may even get, some pushback from your sharks or from your senior leaders or from your peers or colleagues, whoever you're pitching to. You may get pushback, you may get doubt, you may even get downright hostility. You may get criticism. And so part of your job in maintaining and elevating your brand in this situation is to breathe your way through that and figure out, how do I deal with this? You don't want to get angry, you don't want to break down, you don't want to get into a fight, but you want to make sure that you stay in your authentic, powerful, positive self, no matter what someone else is doing. So our seven lessons from Shark Tank very quickly are: prep first. First impressions matter. Manage anxiety. Start strong. Pace yourself. Know your stuff. And have grace under fire. So those are seven lessons I've taken from Shark Tank. I would love to continue this conversation, so feel free to email me or reach out to me at www.tao-leadership.com, and we can talk about personal branding all day. So thank you so much for listening to The Leader in the Muse. This is Cheryl McCreary, your host, and we're here on Fridays at 12 noon Pacific on Voice America Business Channel. Bye-bye.
Thank you again for listening to The Leader and the Muse with Cheryl McCreary. Please join us again next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Business Channel. See you then.